The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. She's one of the world's most influential names in fitness, listed among the AFR's Young Rich List, Forbes, and partnered with identities like Khloe Kardashian and Good American, boasting more than 15 million followers across the globe. With a family, an empire, and dumbbells in hand, Emily has made her dreams into reality, and she's here to show that you can too. This is the You Can Podcast by Emily Sky.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to my podcast. It's the You Can Podcast by Emily Sky, which is me, and I'm joined here.
It's me.
In case you didn't know, it's me, and I'm joined here with Sam Mangan.
Hello there.
Yeah, how he's my friend slash manager slash podcast person.
That's my official title. I'm going to update LinkedIn immediately.
You're also my
sooner.
Business partner. I forgot that. I've got to start adding that.
Business partner. Yes. Correct, Amundo.
A few other things.
That's exactly right. Today we're chatting motivation, Emily Sky Fit.
Yes, we are.
Aren't we?
We are. Where shall
what
we
begin? What a banger. You get this question a lot though, right?
Yeah. And it's funny because I can make a real, you know, short answer that's only a few lines, or I can draw it out and talk about different stories, which is what I wanted to do today.
So saddle in for either a 2 or 3 minute episode or a 40 minute episode.
So which one you choose? It's one of those choose your
own adventure.
Yes. Like the Goosebumps. I used to read them when I was a kid.
Goosebumps.
You choose which way you go, and then
blast
I didn't like that one, so I'd go back.
Wow.
Yes, I'm old.
No, I was involved in those also. Really? I think that I was gotten onto it by Courtney. I don't know that it was my time because I'm young and vibrant.
You're a baby.
Producer Courtney, of course, we're referring to. Anywho, let's get into it. I thought we would go back a little bit
in time.
In the DeLorean, if you
change
will.
Change the story.
Wow, I can't believe the name of that car just came to my mind. I don't think I've ever seen those movies. I don't know
what is it?
Is that the name of the... Have I got that wrong?
I don't know what you're talking about.
From Back to the Future, I think the car was a DeLorean.
I have no idea.
Producer Courtney's over there having Laugh a Minute with Button Pusher Aaron. It's like they've got... No one's paying attention.
Button Pusher
Aaron.
Is
it called the DeLorean? Oh, now they're affirming it.
I have
okay.
actually no idea what you're talking
Welcome
about.
Welcome back to the show, producers. Anyway, when did you find your motivation?
I didn't find it. I created it.
Okay, well, there you go. That's the motto. That's like the line. That's
and
the
we're
promo
done.
Line.
Yeah.
Wrap her up. Like in terms of like timing, do you, and like this is a ridiculous question, when did you find your motivation? But did you find from a young age that you were motivated by anything in particular? Like for me, for example, I was always driven very much by like money and power, if you will.
Status.
But yeah, for sure. Was that sort of, did you ever have that?
I never thought about that when I was a kid because I guess I didn't have anyone around me that was that had businesses and I never saw success in that sort of way. Mm-hmm. And I also didn't think it was attainable for me. But as I got older, and as most of you probably know, I struggled with mental health problems and self-belief and didn't think I was worthy of anything and couldn't do anything and all that. We did another episode on that, which was the first one, I think.
Yeah.
But I always wanted something better for me and I knew that I was like supposed to do something better.
Yeah.
And it was something deep inside me that knew that that one day I'd be doing something that I'm extremely passionate about and I would find success, but it was a weird feeling because I was so negative and so...
You couldn't identify the feeling maybe.
No, it was weird. It was like it was there and I was like, well, why aren't I on track? Like, why isn't this happening? So years went on and it wasn't until I was about 24 or 25 and I started making changes. But because I was so depressed and so insecure and unhealthy mentally and physically, all I could see was that. I couldn't see anything outside of that.
Do you think it's interesting, right? Because you just sound like you weren't surrounded by obviously anyone with that conventional success, right? A huge business or anything like that. But do you kind of look back now as a mother and think like that there is like that motivation in what your mum was able to do, raising kids on her own?
It's funny. As soon as I had Mia, I said to my mum, I don't know how you did it with two girls, two babies under 2.5 on your own.
It's incredible.
How
isn't
do you
it?
Do it? Like I struggle and I've got an amazing supportive partner.
Yeah. And it's funny though, like when you think about it, though, like she really was a version of success and very successful in what she was
success
doing.
Success isn't just about building a business or money or status.
No.
It can be
I
anything.
Feel like these days though, that's very much the perception of it, right? Like that's very much it. I mean, I know for me, when I was very young, my parents certainly weren't, well off, but they certainly weren't, I know your past, you were receiving at times fruit wrapped up for Christmas presents, things like that. We weren't destitute by any stretch of it. You know, I had a very comfortable upbringing. My parents, both of them at times, had their own business. So I was kind of exposed to a bit of that. There was a lot of free movement in my parents' timelines. You know, there was a lot of, like, they were able to go to work and not be, you know, during the days. And it wasn't a conventional 9 to 5.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of, I guess, at the time you don't know what that is, right?
No.
Like, you have no idea. But you kind of see that and it's kind of a good thing. And then later in life they did have 9 to 5 jobs. And so it's kind of, I guess, up and down a bit. But they were, I always had great opportunity. And I was, you know, they worked extremely hard to put me through a private school, which is obviously where I was exposed to a lot of people with a lot of money, you know. And I guess as a kid, I don't know about you, but I can't remember as a kid prior to, I guess, that, which is a bit later in life, but I can't really remember seeing people and thinking, like, wow, I have no money, or like, I don't have a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? Did you ever have that?
I was aware of other people having more than what we had, but my mum was always really open with us and would tell us why. And she would, you know, have times where she would say to us that there wasn't enough money to buy shopping that week, like food that week and things like that. And then I knew other people were living in beautiful houses and had a lot of things, an abundant of things.
Yep.
So it wasn't really, I didn't really have.
It's hard to identify thinking back that far, right?
I can't even think
back. I mean, we always lived in a comfortable house, like it was a nice house and whatnot. And, you know, there was never any sort of, in that earlier upbringing. And so I think just sort of seeing my parents, you know, have their own business and call their own shots at times, that sort of really piqued my interest.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing it's in my DNA. Like, I don't think it's all.
No, it's definitely in your DNA.
you know, I wish you could turn it off. But, and so I guess that's kind of, for me anyway, that's kind of what me, I think, makes me sort of always like, I want to be successful financially and in business.
Yep.
But also, it's not always about, and I know a lot of people will say this, but it's not always about the money to me. It's more about, I guess, the status that it comes with it, that respect that you earn by being successful at something. And I think that comes whether you're successful in business or in sports or the arts, or,
well,
you know, whatever it might
feeling.
Be.
If you do a good job at something or you achieve something that you want, 100%. You have a good feeling. Like, what's the point of living if you don't have these goals that you achieve, big or small, you know, and celebrate those goals that you achieve?
And for me, I think as well, like we've sort of spoken about, I was very driven by that success, and a lot of that was tied at times to financial success.
Yeah.
But I think for you, like, when you think about the fact that you competed, you know, in those fitness comps, like, how do you even get to, like, that headspace? Was that – so would you say that, I guess, you had somewhat, I guess, gotten over the mental health issues that you were having and the, you know, the self –
self-worth problems
and those – do you think that that probably was somewhat resolved, not resolved completely?
To a point. I got to a point where I knew how to deal with it and I could get through
manageable.
It. And manageable, that's it. And I think that's the case with most people, and I'm no expert, of course, on mental health, but I believe that it's always going to be there, but you learn to manage it. And if you don't manage it, it can sort of come back again. So you got to stay on top of it. And when I first started having the goal to become healthy and fit and also build muscle, and then I wanted to be actually strong looking, like I wanted to have abs and things like that too, I went through the sort of healing of my mental health problems, but then set those goals for myself. And one of the goals I had was to be on the cover of Oxygen magazine. It was one of my biggest goals ever, because I started doing fitness stuff and I was doing fitness modeling and commercials and things like that. And Oxygen was just my ultimate goal. And I used to look at the magazine and think, oh, I want to be like that one day.
But before that, right, like, let's go back further. Like, if you're thinking about when you decided to compete, for example, like, and I obviously could never do that, hello. Like, dear Lord,
you could.
Imagine. No, absolutely
not. You'd do anything, Sam.
No, I literally can't. You can.
You can.
I feel like for me, when you look at the level of control and whatnot, in order for you to actually be able to, you know, perform, like to get your body and to eat right and to train right and all these things.
Yeah.
Like that's, I guess we have two very different, like, I guess, trains of motivation, if you will. Like, to have had your mind set to that, you must be so driven to it, like I am, to be successful in my field, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you see, I started competing because I thought that would help me get on the cover of Oxygen, because I knew a lot of the cover models were competitors. And when I spoke to the editor about it, she was like, oh, have you ever considered about, like, to compete? And I was like, oh, I haven't really, but maybe. And then I started researching it and was interested. So I thought, okay, well, I'm willing to do anything to get on this cover. Not anything. But most things to get on the cover because it was just my ultimate dream at the time. So I went and competed and I did 5 comps. But it was the commitment and self-control is huge.
Would you say that like when you started, I guess, training for it and preparing, that that was the first time in your life that you found motivation to an extent?
Yeah, because I wanted something so bad I thought it was attainable too.
Was there anything before that in your life that you'd been that driven for?
No. Only to feel better about myself and to feel more confident.
Yep.
And that's when I started making those changes through fitness. Mm-hmm. And then it wasn't that long after that that I decided to compete and then go for the cover. And I found fitness. It was like the most amazing thing ever and I loved it and felt on top of the world. So I just wanted to continue with that. So I wanted to be on the cover of Oxygen as well because I wanted to reach more people. Plus, like, I just wanted to be on the cover because it's cool to have, you know.
Absolutely.
It's cool to be on the cover of your favorite magazine.
It's incredible.
And, and then I set out for that. So I'd never been that committed in anything in life. I never really wanted anything because I didn't believe that I could achieve it. And that's huge, I think, with motivation or being motivated or having goals. You have to believe that you're capable of achieving it and that you're worthy of it.
But you
never felt like that before.
It's two things, right? Like you have to think that, right? And that's a confidence thing. I think that's a time thing. But do you think that also, I guess, that having that motivation when you're sort of thinking about, you know, what it is that you're going to be super motivated about. Do you think it was just because you didn't know what you really loved?
Yeah.
Like I love health and fitness, right? Like
I hadn't found it yet. I remember being in high school and I don't know what we were doing, but it was something about finding what you were going to do in life, like what career you're going to choose. And it was on the computers in the library, those small box computers back
love
in the
that.
Day because it's a long time ago. Yep. And I'd fill out this survey thing. And it was to like tell you what you'd be good at. And it was always something creative, but it never really made sense because it wasn't like a normal sort of job.
Yeah, of course.
And I always felt like, oh, I don't fit in and there's nothing that's for me and I don't want to do that. And I want to do something that's more creative and that I have control over. So I never knew what I was going to do. So I was sort of walking around aimlessly.
Well, your job wouldn't have been in any list of any
nothing,
job
it's
description.
In nothing. Well, that's it. It's not. And that's something to look at too, I think, in the educational system. Like maybe they are now. I don't know.
I would say, I don't think that they are, but I would say that if you polled, grade 10 and 11 people and they asked
they
what your dream
Instagram
was,
famous.
They would say YouTube.
Well, YouTube,
like,
yeah.
Truly, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I really feel like that.
But like we've said,
apparently that's a stat. Producer Courtney's giving me a big tick over there. Apparently that's a real thing. I've made it up. I don't want to say that I'm just coming out with the goods, but here I am. Do you know what I'm saying?
It is a real thing, but like we were saying the other day, and we talk about it all the time, they want to be famous on Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, whatever, but they don't have anything that they're good at. Well, they do, but they're not doing anything. You know what I mean? They want
to
be
famous. It's hard
to
identify it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But you're supposed to be good at something and then you can go and amplify that or use 100%. Social media to
there's no doubt about it. Producer Courtney's letting me know that apparently YouTuber is the number one thing now. It used to be an astronaut, so NASA was like the...
Wow.
That's
how's the contrast,
change.
Hey?
But, I mean, that's like in terms of idolizing things, I would presume, and I wouldn't obviously know, but the moon landing and walking on the moon would have dominated education for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And that was the most inspiring thing the
and
world
the hardest
had
thing
seen.
To do, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be cool. And now I see it, you see how pop culture is obviously idolizes YouTubers. But you're 100% right. Like, it's so difficult, I think, when people want to be famous, but they're not famous for anything. And it's almost, you think about this, and this isn't a tips episode, but you think about that when people are trying to grow an Instagram account. You can't just start it and be like, here's my lunch.
Yeah.
No one cares about your lunch until you're someone.
Yeah.
And then they care about your lunch, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, if you just started posting your lunch at the beginning, you would have no followers.
No,
the reason people
no reason
now ask
it.
What you eat is because you're a fitness expert.
They've already got an interest because they know like the big picture.
100%.
Yeah. And there's also the value that I've tried to give for years.
Totally. So coming back, I guess, to where we were, when you're thinking about motivation, I think, and we've had this discussion before, but I think that motivation isn't this universal situation, right?
No.
I could never be motivated to be an athlete. Like, I truly believe that. Like, I'll never be motivated to run 10 kilometers, but you'll never be able to stop or, you know, in any way impede my motivation to grow my businesses.
Yeah.
Because that's me.
Yeah.
And until you kind of find that. And I've been very lucky because in my lifetime, I guess when you track it, now owning a business is cool. So I was sort of pushed into that. You know what I mean? Everyone was talking about it and whatnot. You didn't have that benefit because you were, you know, being an influencer of sorts before it was the thing to do. You know what I mean? You didn't even realize you were doing it, but you were doing it. But do you agree that like it's you've got to find your thing before motivation works?
Well, for me especially, and obviously everyone's different, but I, as I was saying before, I was lost before I knew what I was, you know, passionate about, before I found my thing. And fitness is my thing, you know, and beauty too. But I definitely had to start with fitness because it was an emotional thing for me and it was meaningful and it did change my life and I was so passionate about it. So because I had so much passion, that motivated me because I wanted other people to feel like I had finally felt. And I just imagined people feeling the way I felt prior to making the changes, and I just thought if I can have anything to do with changing or helping them change, then I want to do it. So that drove me, and I really spent a long time, a lot of hours staying up all night trying to get out there and reach more people, and I still do it.
Well, that's it. And also, like, it's funny, right? I mean, and there's a comparative story here, but I remember when one of my earliest jobs was I was a telemarketer for a company, and one of the things that I always wanted to do good at that job, but I never cared about like the job. I know that's a very hard distinction to make, but I cared about my success in the role. Like I wanted to be good. I wanted to be the best. Yeah. I wanted to be, you know, earning great money and whatnot. And that's the element that then makes sense to apply to my own business.
Yeah.
It was the going work ethic
because it's you. You're holding yourself accountable.
Your own success. Yeah. But when it was about go into the office at the time we tell you, have a lunch break when we tell you, have all of the, I couldn't handle that.
No.
I just am not built that way. I couldn't make it work. Mm. And so for me, I had zero motivation to be there until I put the headset on and started calling people. Then it was very much about I have to be the best.
Yeah.
And so it's
funny. Maybe you enjoyed actually doing well at that. Like
that is what it is.
Reaching
for
people and whatever you were doing. Were you selling something, I'm assuming?
Yeah, it was timeshare sales presentations, if you don't mind.
Well, if they start buying, you feel good.
Yeah.
And that's what it's all about.
It was about, you know, you saw I got a booking and then you'd see someone else had a booking and then you'd have three bookings and everyone else would have two and you'd be like.
And you turn it into a game.
Yeah. And then it's success.
Yeah.
And I think people have to find, like, there'll be elements. It may not be the whole role.
Yeah.
I was never going to be driven to be the best telemarketer in the world. Mm. But I knew that having success and, you know, building something great and having financial success was the element. And then that's what then translated into, you know, owning businesses.
Yeah.
But it's funny, right? Like, I think for people when their dream jobs, when they're talking about anything in general, you have to find what you're passionate about before motivation even is possible to arrive.
You have to be extremely passionate about it. And then hopefully turn it into a business. And not all things can.
Absolutely not. Oh, well, look, I truly believe that not everyone is meant to own a business.
No.
You can't. That's not how the economy works. It's not how the world works.
Yeah.
And we've now, like, being a business owner is like the new cool thing. You know what I mean? Like that and, you know, being an Instagram person or being a YouTube person.
Influencer.
And, you know, yeah, you know, all that sort of stuff. That's now the cool thing to do, right? Like,
But if you don't really care, if you're not passionate about it, it's all about, I don't know, your ego or whatever, you're just like people praising 100%. You, it's not going to last and you won't enjoy it.
No chance. And also, like, if everything disappeared tomorrow, right, if Facebook turned off tomorrow and all the rest of it, you'd still be out there trying, you'd probably be in a gym training people. Do you know what I mean? Like, at its core, that's what you love.
Way. Yeah.
And then that's what you've grown from there.
Yeah, so if you're not willing to work your butt off, because what I was going to add before is, you could be really passionate about something, but don't assume it's going to make it more enjoyable. And I mean, you're going to have to work really hard and you're going to have times where you're crying because like something's 100%. Happened or like you're stressed out. These things are still going to happen, but what pulls you through is your passion.
100%.
From the start, and you have to keep that alight.
So true. And like you can't, I mean, the amount of times I and you have worked till ridiculous o'clock in the morning.
Night. Like I've done all-nighters.
Yeah, you can't sit there at 3 a.m. and have to keep going unless what you're doing is burning a fire inside you.
And it's worth it. Like, you know that it's worth it. And sometimes it's not. Like, sometimes you do things that haven't been worth it, but you wanted
it.
And
delivering the ultimate goal.
Exactly.
That's
exactly
it, right?
Yeah. And the chance that it might, then it's worth it.
100%. Like, I mean, there's plenty of times, especially in my career, where I've done free work for people.
Oh,
you know, very early on, so much free work. The work itself, I hate it.
Yep.
But I knew it was the overall, exactly. It's the puzzle. Yep. And you just build, it's building blocks and you're just slowly getting there. And that's so important, I think, to motivation. I don't think it's talked about enough. A lot of people talk about getting motivated and staying motivated and whatnot, but
there's a gap.
I'll never be motivated about a 9-to-5 office job because I have huge problems sitting there and having people tell me what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I wish, there are many days where I wish that would be what I wanted to do. where I finished work at 5 and that was the end.
I thought it too, but I couldn't. Personally, I couldn't.
I couldn't. You know what I mean?
No, I couldn't.
But there's no difference between the person doing that and me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's no difference. It's just we're all built differently.
Yeah.
And that's, I think you've got to understand that we're all built differently before you can find the motivation that's then going to set off, you know, what it is that you want to do. Do you know what I mean?
Meanwhile, your phone's going crazy because you're such a busy person with your career is going so well.
It's the worst. So you turn it upside
Never
down.
Never stops.
It literally doesn't stop. But I think that's in terms of motivation, like if you're listening to this podcast and you're trying to find motivation, I think the most important thing to point out is like
it comes from you.
You
really
weren't motivated to do anything until you found fitness.
Yeah.
It was just about trying to.
It changed me. It gave me that. It was like I was finally, it was like a candle being lit. Like I was just, I came alive is what I'm trying to say. Like I finally found like I was alive and I was truly living. I was like, wow, there's a whole world out there sort of feeling. Because I don't know if any, I'm assuming a lot of you have suffered with depression or mental health problems and you feel like you are in this dark hole and nothing else exists and you can't function properly.
Yeah.
But if you've ever experienced coming out of it, which I hope you have, but I used fitness to get there. It's like you come out of your hole, the sun's out and the clouds have gone away and you feel like, wow, like I can breathe properly, I can think more clearly and you're more positive and you can actually see things out. Like you can see there's a world and there's opportunities and everything just shifts.
And it's really funny, right? Like, so as I was saying, I could never be motivated to be an athlete. I could never be passionate about being an athlete because that's just not the way
I'm
built.
It's not what you want.
Physically. But what I will say is that when you think about it, right, and you know, there'll be a lot of people who'll be listening to this podcast who are on their own health and fitness journey and they're falling off the wagon at every other station. Hi, I'm with you. Do you know what I mean? Like that is a thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's so difficult. You're quite unique in the fact that you love health and fitness and you love the outcome and it helped you.
Yeah.
But for some of us, I don't need the help through health and fitness. I just need to be healthier.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think there's a lot of people out there like that. So finding motivation to actually be healthy, I would think, and tell me if you agree, that you need to tie it to a different outcome.
Yeah.
Like I want to be healthier because I want to feel better.
Yeah. You can't be too focused on – you have to realize it's going to take hard work. It's going to be hard and you're going to hate it and you're going to want to give up, but you have to keep looking at what you want in the end and how bad you want that. Why do you want it? And that you've got to just choose that it is worth it and go through the
Because you
hard
need
work.
You need more than just the motivation to be healthy. That's not enough. Because truthfully, I would say there's a very small group on earth who have that.
Very small. And to be honest with you, health will always be a priority to me because I know how it feels to be unhealthy and I'm more talking about mental health.
Yes.
That's more important to me. But also I like to look good. I like to
100%.
Be leaner and be like strong and fit and I like to put an outfit on and feel good. And there's nothing wrong with that and there's nothing wrong with using that as motivation for you to get fit and
Definitely
healthy.
Definitely not. I mean I always joke about it, but I don't measure my weight in kilos or anything like that. I measure it in shirt size.
Yeah.
If I'm, and just lately, the large was starting to be a bit pressing. Do you know what I'm saying? The large was in trouble.
Got to get back onto the Emily Sky Fit program, I
think. Immediately back on the Emily Sky Fit program and we are on the way back down to a comfortable fitting into a large. And that's how I do it. You know, it's not about a scale to me. It's not about anything else other than I like to feel comfortable in the clothes that I have and that's the size that I like to be.
Yep. And if it's not enough, some people, and like you're saying, a small amount of people, the health is enough. The benefit
of very
being healthy
small.
Is enough. But if it's not enough for you, find something else. If it is that you want to look better or you want to, you know, look nice in your wedding dress or you want to look great on the beach in summer and and it's all relative to you and it's, everyone's different. And for me, of course I like to look good in a bikini on the beach. Who wouldn't? Like honestly, who would not unless you know, you don't wear bikinis.
I'm a big fan of bikinis and I look great in them. Do you know?
But you have to tie it to something. I think that's what you were saying before. Like you've got to tie it to something that's meaningful for you that you will feel good about and that it will pull you through.
And that's what we were talking about before, right? Like I think when you find it, there's a fire in you. Like
there
I
is.
Genuinely
there's
believe
a fire
that.
And it's crazy.
But the fire isn't – for so few people, the fire will be being healthy. That's not it. The ultimate end of it is there's something over there.
Yeah.
Is it fitting into your wedding dress?
Yeah.
Is it, you know, whatever it might be, motivation, I think, in the health and fitness realm, there's always an end goal. You know what I mean? I'm at the moment, I am health. I'm, you know, just not eating. I'm joking. I'm being very strict on my my diet at the moment,
yeah.
purely because I know that I want to maintain that same, yeah. You know, look in that outfit that I wear all the time, my yep. work outfit, if you will. That's just how I like to be, you know, etc. Mm-hmm. / I've got some very expensive clothes, and if I can't fit them, it's a little waste of money. You do you know what I'm saying?
Sell them all. We'll do a giveaway, Sam.
A giveaway, dear Lord. So you know what I mean? For me, that's it's that end goal, and I think that that's so important in yeah. finding it. It's the same for business.
Yeah, I mean, like, I do have a goal to for my lifestyle to be the best it can be, right? And I do want to be healthy and fit for life.
Yes.
It doesn't happen. I mean, you can try your best, but there's not, you're never your ultimate forever. You can't maintain it. So that's why I believe, this is just my belief. Yep. Other people can think whatever they like too, but there's got to be smaller goals along the way that you set to keep you sort of going 100%. And keep you interested. You're going to get bored 100%. Otherwise. Who's going to just sit there and just be, oh, because I just want to be healthy?
It's not really. A real thing.
And if
it's
you disagree, like, let us know because it's interesting.
Now, we spoke about this one last week, which is Be Coyote, because it's one of your faves. But people are asking us about the Illuminator and, you know, me with all the answers that I don't have. They were like, which colour is it? And I was like, let's find the colour. Turns out there's just the one, which we love.
Because it matches everyone's skin tone. And if you're anything like me, I get confused by all the colours and it's I get overwhelmed much. And I can't pick which one I want.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really nice because it's warm enough to sort of match your skin without standing out too much, and it's really natural, so I think it would suit everyone.
I'm pretty pasty white, but I'll give it a whirl if you say so.
Oh, you've been using it for the last few weeks, haven't you? Don't lie.
You know it. Now, we obviously did that. That was great last week. The response is incredible, which we love. Thank you, guys. But they've now sent us over their new products, and so we're now having a bit of a look-a-roo at this. And now, look, I'm not the most educated in this department, but they are calling this one a lip compact.
Yeah.
Which is their new product. It looks to me like a balm moment. And let me tell you, if there's one thing Emily Skye doesn't operate without, it's a tint, a balm, yes. a something on her lips.
I can't handle just clear. I need to have a bit of colour or a bit of pigment on my lips. Otherwise, I feel like my lips are too pale, that I look a bit sick, but I love adding that bit of colour to my face.
Yes.
And the great thing about these is, what I do anyway, I don't know if you're supposed to do it, but I do it.
That's all right.
So I put my finger in it and I dab it on, and it's kind of like a lip tint, and it lasts a long time, like a lip stain, I should say.
Yes.
And then I put a little bit on my cheeks and a bit on my eyelids as well, so the colour all sort of ties it all together, and you just have a little bit of a fresh, healthy sort of look.
Just a little bit of colour. I'm actually just reading this sheet that they've given us, and it says that it's like a lip gloss, but it's got the high quality performance of a lipstick.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like merging two things into
so
one.
So you're
and
not
we're all about
losing
time
it
saving.
All, because glosses can just come off really fast.
Yes.
This stays on a lot longer, I've found.
And it's got a mirror inside. Is
yeah,
that why it says compact?
And I've never seen a mirror that's genius. Small in a little one like that. It's so good.
And no, it's very good. But I like that there's a mirror because, like, you can really get a moment in there. Because, you know, like, I feel like you need to see what's going on.
Yeah.
In an application.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's a colour, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not like, it's not too pigmented. It's just got a bit of colour, so it's a really nice natural sort of colour.
That's
yeah.
fab.
You can build it up as well. So if you want more pigment, you can just keep building on it.
And what colour-wise, because there's a few colour options here that I'm seeing, what are you living for?
I love Scarlet. I think you've got the other one that I
love. I've got pink. I've got Petal Pink.
Petal Pink.
I can tell you like this one because it's like gouged out. There's like nothing left. That's great.
Look at this one though.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Scarlet.
Didn't realise you were going in with a shovel, but thanks anyway.
It's so good though. I love it. I'm obsessed with them. So now these come with me. I just pulled these out of my handbag, actually.
Like, yeah, I was like,
and my little
why
trinkets.
Are these sticky? What have you got in your handbag? Thank you, Emily
It's
Skye.
In there with everything.
It's
yeah,
on my hands.
Sink.
That's wonderful. Just a reminder, if you weren't listening last week or if you weren't listening up, pay attention. It's becoyote.com. Just for those people who are like, hi, Sam, you speak too quickly. It's becoyote.com. And you can see all of their amazing products. They're Australian owned. They're Australian made.
Vegan.
They're vegan. It's just all happening over there.
All natural.
You know, all natural. And the founder, love her the most, Eleanor, she's just the greatest.
Yeah, how lovely is she?
So sweet. Actually, I haven't seen her in a long time. We need to catch up, Eleanor. Get on that plane immediately.
And she listens to this, so
she does.
Come on.
Get here immediately. All right, fab, let's keep going. Do you know what is really interesting? And I'm going to tell this story with actually, you know, I was going to tell this story, and I will tell this story. We were.
You're going to tell it? You will tell it?
No, I was thinking about a different story, but I'm going to go with another story. The other day we flew to Sydney, and we were there for the day, and we flew back. It was a hugely long day. You were wrecked from shooting all day.
Hadn't slept the night before. Haven't been that well, to be honest.
Shot for days and days and days before. Mm. You've had a couple of huge weeks of shooting where it's very important that you're, you know, feeling your best and whatnot, looking your best because we're shooting, blah, blah, blah. And we got to the airport. Anyway, when we got there, we were having dinner. When we went, and because we missed our flight, so we had to stay later, so we were there through dinner time. So we went and we ordered food, and the food that we ordered was just some chicken.
Yeah.
Anyway, at the counter, you then said to me at the last minute, stuff it, I'm getting the chips.
Yeah.
And I said, no, we're not.
Yeah.
We're not getting it. Let's just eat the chicken.
But it's good to find someone that keeps you accountable, though.
That's what I mean.
And I appreciate it.
So many people would see that you would be like, oh, I never want the chips ever.
Oh, I'm just like everyone else, to be honest. Literally. With you. Like, I have the same feelings, and sometimes I just go, oh, stuff it. I just want to just eat chocolate and chips every day.
And that was the time to do it because you'd finished all the shoot, but I know, you know, you're trying to help
when
your
you're
gut
exhausted
at the moment.
Too,
you're
trying, oh, and wrecked. You just crave, like, you just want the carbs or the 100% sugar.
For the pickup.
Yeah, and I'm trying to heal my gut because I've just found out I have, like, parasites and so SIBO and, like, bacterial overgrowth and holes in my gut and all this stuff going on.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to heal that, and the worst thing I can do is have potato.
Yeah.
And yet, and I know that, and I desperately want to get better, and I've been trying to for years, as you know, and most people know. And yet in that moment, I was going to go for the
stuff
chips.
It. And that's it, right? And I think that's so important about motivation. It's not always on.
No.
It isn't something that exists.
And that initial fire that you get that you were talking about before, it will go out and you have to light it up.
It burns at a very, very light little tiny light.
You have to remember back to that and how excited you were at the beginning. And I think a lot of people get it. Oh, I'm going to get fit this year, you know, New Year's resolutions. Oh, I'm going to get like, they feel really excited and then it fades and you lose it for whatever reason. You've got to reignite that. And 100%. Constantly do
and
it.
Remind yourself of the goal.
Yeah. Right? And when it's shitty and you're like training, because when I train hard and it is hard. Like I struggle.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm thinking, I hate this. You know, like I love being healthy and fit, but I don't like actually training. Like that part of it. I like the feeling after it and feeling good and looking good and being strong. But I've got to go, what is it that I want to get, Em? Like, how bad do you want it? You have to do this. You have to get yourself uncomfortable because you want to change and you got to tell yourself these things.
Totally. And it's funny really because you were saying before about like because so many people who message you and talk about wanting to get healthier and fitter, and that's why you've used that example before of getting into your wedding dress or whatever because that's the one that you get so often.
Yeah.
But it's funny that it's usually those goals that unlock this thing inside people that triggers
their
health and fitness for their life.
They get a taste for it because you actually feel amazing. And I never knew it before. I didn't know how good you could feel until I went, I'm going to get healthy and fit because I got to make changes because my mind, I can't deal with this right now. And I started making those changes and I started eating healthier foods and moving. And I thought, oh my gosh, I feel like a superhero. Like I had that crazy
but
feeling.
But isn't that true, right? It's so about feeling. And like even when we talked about it before, like being in a bikini on the beach, it's not about somebody else's opinion of you in a bikini.
It's how you feel. And that's I think that gets mixed up as well. And people think, oh, you're trying to, you know, please everyone else or it's, you know, you're worrying about what everyone else is thinking.
Or trying to fit into a mold for society.
Exactly. But it's not about that. It's not about I want to be skinny or I want this and that. It's just what I want for myself. It's got nothing to do with anyone else.
Yeah.
And I don't care whether someone says you look good or someone says you look bad.
Yeah.
If I feel good about myself, then that's all that matters. And that's a great place to be in.
100%. And health and fitness obviously is a big one for that. And
I
think as well, like, I mean, there'll be people listening to this who obviously have their own businesses and things as well. And, you know, that's something that obviously, you know, between the two of us, we're very motivated to continue to grow, you know, the various businesses that we're involved in separately and together, that we can sort of, you know, I guess talk about that as well because it's a similar motivation, but you have to find the right thing. But there are so many people out there who I just think, you know, it's trendy to own a business.
Yeah.
But don't be bogged down by having to own a business. That's not what it's about.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Because sometimes, like you're saying, it's not for everyone. And I know people that have had businesses and they were extremely depressed having them and they got rid of them.
So
they now
many.
Work for someone else and they're happy. So it's
so
not
many.
The end, like it's not the ultimate for everyone.
No. And I've said this before. There are many times when I think to myself, it can be a curse.
Yeah.
The fact that you wake up and you can't stop your mind, the fact that you can't go on a holiday, the fact that you can't.
People who don't have businesses and people who do will probably agree with me, but the ones who don't and want it, I don't think they see the big picture
absolutely
at all
not.
And they don't see how it is, like there's good and bad and the bad is quite bad.
And I must admit that Instagram and specifically Instagram ads have caused some of that issue because this laptop lifestyle continues to be promoted.
Oh, the hustle life. Hashtag
the hustle life. As if it's a real thing.
Yeah, and everyone's taking a picture of them sitting at the cafe with their laptop out.
Laptop
and
lifestyle.
Taking the photo. do you have time to sit there and take a photo? I'm not saying it's a bad thing to do, guys, like not at all, but they've created this idea that that's what it's like, and it's like the romanticized version.
Absolutely.
Like, and like it's a just, movie you watch.
It just truly isn't. It's funny because like I know on my personal Instagram, I don't like 9 days out of 10, I don't post anything in a story or anything at all. I just don't post because I'm slaving away at my desk usually working. It's only if you and I travel and something funny happens or et cetera, et cetera. But
or if it's to do with the business too and it's part of that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the priority is never wake up, show everyone that I'm successful, show everyone that I'm busy.
About that.
It's totally irrelevant to the end goal. You're just doing what you're doing as a normal day.
I think a lot of people, it's all about what everyone else thinks, you know, it's about showing off and having people like think that you're, it's perception. Like
100%.
They're like, oh my God, you're so successful. You're amazing. And I know people very well who are like that. And they're just stuck trying to be this, like, I don't know whether like famous or like somehow worshipped online on social media. And that's all their goal is. And because they're not there, it's devastating for them and they can't function.
But especially when they're not, again, like, are you passionate about that? Do you know what I mean? Like,
the passionate about being successful.
Yeah.
Passionate about being successful. Like, passionate about
that's
being
the wrong thing.
They want to be a YouTube star. They want to be this. Like, they're missing the whole point of the whole thing.
Yeah. The reason that you can grow to be successful is such a specific, you know, it's such a specific thing to have in your, you know, you have to be a certain type of person is the only way to put it. And I think that it's so important to find your own motivation because, you know, I know for me, like I said, it's what I wake up with every day and this is what I want to do. And it's, you know, it's funny actually. You know, we always laugh about it now, but I'm considered online very well as, you know, such a princess and, I'll only fly business and I'll only this and I'll only buy the nicest things and I'll this, that and the other. And it's all about showy things and money. And it's so far from the truth because that's literally not what it's about. No. I spend very little of my time showing off the nice things I own or whatever. It's not about that. Mm-hmm. It's about I want to live a life where I can fly business and this, that and the other. And, you know, I know
you
that
feel
you're
good doing it. It makes you happy.
But that's what makes me happy. And I think that you get judged by that. And I think like it's nothing to do with that. You know, oftentimes, specifically in the airline situation, like often flying business and whatever, you know, we're about to undertake a trip that, you know, is going to be 4 countries in 10 days.
Yeah.
It's a lot of movement, 4 cities in 10 days, I should say 2 countries. It's a lot of movement. It's, you know, that's why we do it. But aside from that, that's just, it's the trade-off that I get because I don't get to holiday. I don't go home at night and get to turn off. I don't, et cetera, et cetera.
I haven't been on a holiday in 10 years, like a proper holiday.
Yeah.
Like
and I also, I also just think that when you think about like the way that, I mean, even both of us really grew up, you know, that this is kind of the life that I've built for myself.
Yeah. This is the goal. You did this for a reason. So why are people like, as you know, like people will say, like whenever I'm posting like us on the plane or something, there's always negativity or people assuming that we were born into wealth or that we've never done like flown economy or whatever. We spent years and years doing that.
Years.
But there's nothing, I think it's the wrong sort of way to look at it. And I think instead of looking at other people and seeing what they've got, instead of feeling bitter for whatever reason, perhaps you want that and you feel like we don't deserve it. Or I don't know. I don't know whatever the reason is. But instead of feeling bitter about it, look at people like that who have things that you would like to have and be motivated by them or be inspired to find something that will get you that or your thing, whatever it is you want.
Yeah, 100%.
You've got to shift your perspective and the way you think of things, I think.
There's no doubt about it. And also it's you'll never find motivation if all you're doing is looking at other people. And also, again, like it's Instagram is such the highlights reel and we've spoken about this before, but people out there who are pretending like they're so successful and this, that and the other, most of them aren't.
I know people that'll like buy a business flight and they're struggling to like, you know, pay the bills and stuff.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, just for that photo.
Are totally off.
To have the pajamas, to have the whole thing. And it's just, it's not about that. And I think again, it's just, but again, ultimately you've got to be okay with yourself. And when you're okay with yourself, people are going to say what they're going to say.
Yeah.
And that's just what it is, right?
And people, this is the important thing too. When you start achieving things, whether it's business or your personal life or whatever, maybe it's a fitness goal and you start achieving it, be prepared for people to be negative and for people to tear you down because they will.
Absolutely.
And as soon as you step out and you be seen by the world and you stop being silent, you know, you start being more vocal and people get to know you and see you, you are going to get negativity. You're going to be criticized and people are going to bring you down or attempt to bring you down all the time. And you just have to expect it and then try not to let it get to you.
100%. But again, it comes back to the exact same thing we've been talking about this whole episode. If you're not doing what you love and that doesn't have a fire within you, you'll never get through it. It's too much work. It's too much criticism. It's too difficult.
And believe me, I've had times where I've gone, I don't know if this is worth it. You know, I want to give up. But then I realize, like, I give it a bit of time and then I go, no, I do want this.
I mean, there are days when I already said it, but there are days when I truly think to myself how good it would be to work for someone else and none of it be my problem.
And go home and just go and switch off and be like,
and say, I get 4 weeks leave a year, I'll be gone. Do you know what I mean? Like, that would
I was thinking too, like, because I've been a bit unwell. With us, like, if we're not well, you never get sick, but I do. I get sick sometimes, but I can't just take a day off. Like, people assume if you have your own business, you have control, and you do to a point, but not when there's deadlines and there's things that have to be done. Like, I've had shoots on and commercials and filming for things, and there's all these things happening that have to get done no matter what, and I cannot take the day off.
No, absolutely.
And you need to know that's,
and it's usually, especially with us, it's usually when you start to feel a bit run down, it's usually on the flights. You know what I mean? You land and you've got to go into something straight away and something into something
else. And not
else
to be like, you know, I'm not whinging because I love what I do and I'm appreciative of it. So grateful. But I think a lot of people may overlook the fact that if I am unwell and like my job is around fitness and looking fit and being fit and being able to perform exercise and all those things, if I'm unwell, it's actually a lot harder than if I was to go and do computer work or whatever. Oh. Like, I've got to put my body through quite a lot.
Yeah, 100%. But I also think it's the same sort of thing, right? Like, I mean, if you're in it and you're doing it, you understand how difficult it is. Yeah. And it's not about it's more difficult for me than it is for someone else. It's not about any of those
things. It's not about
that
at all. We're not sitting here going, oh, poor me. Not at all.
Certainly not. But it's more about like finding that motivation. I found it for me. I know what I'm doing for me. That's what matters regardless. You know what I mean? Like, it wouldn't matter if it was the business was super successful or if it wasn't. I'd still be here trying to make it successful because I can't stop.
And I think that's...
And I'd be a terrible employee.
You've got to sort of, as much as there's a lot of hard work and it's stressful and everything else, you've got to still find enjoyment out of it.
100%.
Otherwise, what's the point? And also, is there an end goal? There isn't really, is there? I think the end goal is like small goals along the way and 100%. To grow and build and...
Well, to know that you're on the journey is the goal.
That's it. And you've got to actually stop and, not that we get to stop, but absorb it a bit and go, we're actually doing this and we're in the middle of
it. That's it. Well, and for me, I mean, this episode's running longer than we'd hoped now, but standard.
Told you
it
would.
you know, for me, like having... You know, from a young age, I was surrounded by people who were successful and this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
You know, for me, I have like markers for me that are important. So like, for example, this pen that I'm waving around, which is not a cheap pen by any stretch, could be, which is not cheap by any stretch of it. It's a Mont Blanc pen. And I bought this when I was signing a very important deal related to you.
Oh, really?
It was.
Where's my pen?
You don't get the pen, mate.
Did I get a pen?
You got the result of that signature.
All right, I'll take that. That's right. You keep the pen.
You know, and so there's that. You know, I have an expensive watch which I'm not wearing.
They symbolize
something.
Yeah.
You know, we bought expensive jewelry. You and I have sort of matching jewelry.
Yeah, we went together.
We went together and bought it together. Yeah. We made the joke that we were buying it for each other, so we actually didn't spend the money.
That works.
That works.
But it was a reward for us because we work so hard on our businesses
together. Yeah, but I like looking down at it and thinking.
It reminds you.
That's why you're getting out of bed.
Yep.
It's the little things. And it's not about the bracelet doesn't replace family.
No.
And it doesn't replace friendship. And it doesn't replace all
those
things.
I don't know
why
people think that if you like expensive things, that it means that you're prioritizing that over the meaningful things 100%. Like family.
But I'll tell you a story. When I wake up of a morning and I have to drag myself out of bed in the fours to get on a plane with you to go somewhere, my partner's sleeping next to me.
Yep.
So I'm not getting anything out of my partner that out of the morning. It's the bracelet that gets me out of that
bed,
let me
and
tell
it looks
you.
It's so pretty under any light, as long as you got a bit of light to be
That's
able to
exactly
see.
That's exactly right. Well, usually isn't it four?
It's four, yeah.
It's a very non-gentlemanly hour, as we call it, when we get in the car.
Yeah.
But do you know what I mean? I think everyone has different things.
Yeah.
Some people having a nice pen will mean literally nothing to them. And there's nothing wrong with that.
And that's the thing. Like, why are people judging what you like? Why is it a bad thing?
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I remember buying my first handbag. Remember I bought my first one with you because I had like nothing wrong with like Target and Kmart, but I had a bag from there and because I just didn't care, had no designer wear. This is only like 4 years ago or something. And you were like, you should get a nice bag. Like, you deserve it. You've done so well with your business, reward yourself. And I was like, oh, I can't. It's so much money. That's what I used to think.
Oh, absolutely.
And part of me felt guilty because if I get this, the people around me, and I know a lot of people that don't have much, and I felt guilty because I don't want to be, I feel like I'm showing off and rubbing it in.
100%.
But I sort of had to change that and go, well, maybe they might be inspired by I've worked hard for this. It's not that I've just been given it. And there's nothing wrong with being given it either.
No.
But it was like what it signified to me.
Yeah, and that's what it signifies to you, I think, is what's important. But I also think that you've got – like if there's one thing to be jealous of me, like if anyone
it's
wants
everything,
to pick
guys,
out a jealousy,
let's just send it.
If there's something to be jealous of, it's that I know what I'm supposed to be doing here.
You're going
to
say hanging out with me.
Well, that's the other one. That's the default. But that's to be jealous of, that I know what I'm supposed to be doing and I'm out there – doing it the best I can, doing it. That's the part to be jealous of.
And everyone's
of,
missing it.
And that's what you can, you know what I mean? Don't look at a bag and be like, I wish I had the bag. Fuck the bag.
Yeah, it's not about
that. It's not anything to do with
missing
any of that.
Missing the
point. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's about I'm out here, I know what I'm supposed to be doing and now I'm doing it, which is why I'm able to afford a bag or whatever the whatever it is, stupid stuff. That's the part to be jealous of.
Yeah.
Like be jealous of the fact that you found your calling in life.
Yeah.
You know, and you're out there teaching people how to live healthier, happier lives.
Yeah.
That's what's to be jealous of, because then you can turn that into your own motivation to find what you're passionate about. You know, whether it be art or whether it be this. And there's no, and that's why everyone gets, I think that's why everyone gets so caught up in it. There's no dollar figure attached to your passion.
No.
Some passions are going to be worth a lot more money and some others aren't.
And sometimes it's worth nothing because you get nothing for it for a while.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, my first client when I quit and worked for myself was $500 a month.
Yeah.
And that was a disaster, but it didn't it didn't matter. It didn't matter that I was only earning $500 a month at the time. That made no difference to me because I was finally working for myself on my own terms doing what I wanted to do. But for other people, like there's, I reckon 80% of the world, if they could reduce their salary but have less stress, they'd be better off. But they want a little bit more money to be able to afford a little bit more. Yeah. It's like, what are you doing?
And I think there's also this whole focus on people have this idea that being like, you know, earning a certain amount per year is going to bring happiness, but it won't unless you actually enjoy what you're doing.
Oh, 100%. You know? You have to enjoy what you're doing. Otherwise you torture yourself.
Yeah.
Every day you torture yourself. And what's the point? There's no point getting to – and that's the thing. People say like money doesn't buy happiness and you know, your partners and your friends.
I used to think that and I disagree now.
I disagree in principle as well. Yeah. I think it's
– I don't mean you can go and buy happiness. It's not as simple as that. You break it down. You can use money to buy experiences with your family or buy things for your family that make them happy and
it
then
buys
you get
freedom.
Happy. It's freedom and time.
Yeah.
We were joking about buying time before, but
if
you can use money to free up some time, then that's happiness, I think. So it's what it can get you.
100%. But that's only applicable when you're less stressed. But it's only, I always find the more money that you earn, the more stress you buy.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And they increase in equal increments.
Yep.
For every extra dollar I earn an extra dollar of problems.
Yep.
It's just, it grows and it grows and it grows and it never ends. And that's the thing. Like at some point you should be thrilled with the fact that you can be like, I've found the equilibrium.
Yeah.
I'm earning enough money to live my life and it's not that stressful.
Well,
or it is. Or
Deck and I always say we've never had the goal to like earn whatever amount. Like we're not driven by that. We, of course, money's good and it's helpful, but and we do want to make a lot of it, of course. I'm not going to sit here and say no, I don't. But it's never been the driver. And we have always just said all we want is just enough to be happy and that Mia will be, you know, our kids are going to be, if we have more, we'll be happy as well and we'll be able to take care of them and our family, things like that. Like there's not, we don't want like our own jet plane or things like that. That'd be nice too at times. But you know what I mean?
That's what
like
I'm
we've never wanted to be like super rich because we just, it's not about that for us. It's just like, it's just about having enough to be comfortable. And
it
comfortable,
is,
comfortability, it's different for everyone.
But that's, it's ancillary to your primary motivation, which is to live a healthy and fit life and to motivate others to live healthy and fit lives.
Yeah.
That's the ancillary
component. We live
to it.
A pretty simple life, Deck and I. It's strange. People would probably be surprised, but we.
Yeah, people probably wouldn't realize.
No.
100%. There's no doubt about
very
it.
Very simple.
I'm a simple guy, also.
I'm a simpleton.
Get me some nice, tasty food and I'm good to go, you know? Anywho, we've rambled a bit.
I know. We can just go on forever, can't we?
Motivation's a hard one, though, because it's intangible. So many people want to find it, so many people want
it. It's different for everyone.
Everyone's different.
Yeah, exactly. And what motivates you is going to be different, but you need to find that thing, that whatever it is that gives you that passion and that fire, and you've got to keep lighting the fire along the way because it is bloody hard.
That's 100%
an understatement. Like it is
that's such an
hard, and people don't see that.
They don't. Oh, well.
Yeah.
Wouldn't say we lose some. Anyway, thank you for listening as always. Love having you here. It's been some fab episodes. We've had some such great response. The private Facebook group.
What is this now?
Group,
we're up to, we've done a few now, haven't we?
We have done a few now. I think we're up to almost episode 6, I think this will be, which is exciting.
Yeah. No, I'm really enjoying doing it. And I'm sort of, I feel like I'm, you know, when you first start, it's like, I don't really know what I'm doing, but I'm getting it now. Yeah. Yeah. And I'm getting great feedback from you guys. So you're being really helpful, and please keep giving feedback too, and make sure you subscribe.
Yeah. Feedback in the forms too, the review forms.
Yeah. So not only 5 stars we accept. I'm only joking when I say that, guys, or some people are like, oh, you're asking for, you know, ratings, but we
I'm
need to hear feedback.
Absolutely not joking. I would like 5 stars. I would like them only to be 5 stars. If you've got 4 stars, come into my DMs. We'll have a chat.
Yeah. Okay? But yeah, feedback's good, and it doesn't have to be all positive. If there's something, you know, you think we can do better, or something that you'd like us to talk about, let us know, because it's very important.
But 5 stars and then leave your suggestion.
Exactly.
You know,
like, don't give a 1 star and go, oh, I loved it, but, you know.
Yeah. 5 stars and then helpful handy hints, and then we'll incorporate them, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, too good. Thanks for listening. And
yep. Make sure you go to my Instagram page as well. It's You Can by Emily Sky, and I have a private Facebook group as well. So make sure you join that. It's You Can by Emily Sky also.
We love the same names. That's easy because, you know, I'm a simple guy.
Exactly. I'm pretty simple too, and I forget everything. Anyway, thanks guys for joining. I'm looking forward to the next episode. And remember, you can. Thanks for listening to the You Can podcast with me, Emily Sky. This podcast is part of the Spin Studio Network. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, and I'll be so grateful if you could rate and review my podcast. To stay up to date with me, follow me on Instagram at You Can by Emily Sky, and join our closed Facebook group so we can chat. Just search You Can by Emily Sky.